Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome FPL Family to this next episode of FPL Family. I'm Lee, this is Sam. If you're new to FPL Family, if this is your first ever live stream, maybe you're playing FPL for the first time ever this season, you're thinking, where do I go? Where do I go for some hints and tips? Where do I go? Guys, let me tell you, you've come to the right place. Don't listen to me. Listen to this lady on my right, because top 3K finished last season. Do you feel there's a pressure? I've noticed on, we were in the Slack with the patrons earlier, some of the guys suggesting maybe you're feeling the pressure this season of expectation.
No, pro pundits,
official show.
No one was suggesting that apart from you. You were the one that suggested that.
By the way, you've
loaded the camera up so badly, you've cut yourself out.
I have actually, yeah, that needs to come over a bit, doesn't it?
Hang on.
Can you shuffle over a bit? Oh, no, don't do it live. No, don't do it live. All right, sit. That is a very dangerous thing to do, Sam, from FPL Family, because Well, it's all right on that screen. What about the other screens where the camera angle's different?
It'd be fine.
We know what happens when you get involved with the technology. Let's not even go there, guys. Listen, welcome, guys, to FPL Family.
We can see your beautiful face now.
We can see me a bit better, hopefully. We're going to get some better lighting in here, by the way, as well. The lighting's not great,
tomorrow.
Is it?
We're going to do that tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Bank holiday Monday here in the UK. So that's what we're going to do with our bank holiday. We're going to get some better lighting for the little mini studio we've got
still
here.
Still got the student builder
light.
Is
it? It ain't good enough. So, guys, welcome. If you're new to the stream, I'm Lee. This is Sam. We're FPL Family. We'll talk about all sorts of stuff FPL. We have got almost 2 weeks left before the start of the season. 2 weeks left to tinker with your teams. Obviously, we know now pricing. We know fixtures. We know a little bit about form as well. We've seen a Community Shield yesterday, which sadly, from my perspective, being a Liverpool fan, we lost. But fair play to Arsenal. Thought they held their own. Thought Arsenal actually very defensively organised. In a way that we rarely talk about Arsenal from a defensively organised perspective. But listen, I think they did really, really well. Liverpool weren't at their best, don't get me wrong, but any thoughts on the game? Any Arsenal defenders standing out for you?
Well, just the cheap guy seems to be a bit of a non-option because he didn't play.
Well, Saliba didn't play, but he could easily come into the team. Martinez starting at 4.5.
Yeah, but don't you still think that that's a risk? Because Arteta said something about he deserved to play because he'd been the keeper that got them.
Yes, that was an interesting comment, wasn't it? It's like, yeah, he won us the cup or something, didn't he? So he sort of deserves it because he was part of the cup-winning team. He's my number one keeper.
So that was like, so from an FPL point of view, I saw the team sheet and was like, oh, Martinez number one. Brilliant. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. Then I listened to Arteta and was like, oh, maybe you're not.
Yeah, not sure.
I think unless you're going to go for both, you could go Leno and Martinez and spend a bit more and have rotating Arsenal and be safe.
That's a 5 and a 4.5 though, isn't it?
But it's a risk in terms of your budget spend.
You're safe
in terms of you're always going to have a playing keeper, but it is a bit more risky in terms of that budget spend.
Any other players in that game standing out for you from an FPL perspective? Let's have a quick Community Shield debrief.
Aubameyang, I think.
Clearly.
From an Arsenal point of view,
faded a bit towards the end, I thought, Aubameyang. And took his goal well, but goodness me, Nico Williams, show him down the line, right? Show him inside.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But and to be fair, I would kind of expect them to still fade a little bit in pre-season. They've not exactly...
They haven't had a big break, have they?
No, they haven't had a big break. And, you know, because they obviously went a bit longer with the FA Cup final. So they haven't had a long break. They're still kind of getting back up to speed. So I'm not surprised that he faded a little bit, but he was the standout for me from an Arsenal point of view.
From a Liverpool
point of view, it's hard, isn't it? Because I haven't really seen anything yet from Salah so far in pre-season, and I was a bit like waiting on him. And obviously, you know, Trent we haven't seen at all yet. So it was kind of a learning curve of sorts, but I didn't feel I learned anything more than Aubameyang.
Yeah, Liverpool were certainly not at their best. I thought Robertson looked very threatening down that side. No Trent, obviously, on the right. Nico Williams playing again in pre-season. Let's see whether Trent's going to be back for that game week one. I think Klopp has suggested that he's okay. He's looking good. He's making good progress. But listen, we know what Klopp's like for rhythm and having players play a bit of football before they go into a proper game. And Trent hasn't got any football in his boots yet. Now, he goes away with England, might get some time with the national side, of course, but no football in his boots going into game week one right now is a bit of a concern, I must say. Having said that, Robertson on the other side looked absolutely our key threat. looked a key threat for us. Ball after ball into the box, and Salah and Mane and Firmino. Firmino in particular, not really at it, I don't think. But let's see.
That was maybe because Trent wasn't there, so they pushed everything down the Robertson side. And if Trent was there, would it have been a bit more even?
Well, possibly. It was an interesting game, because every time Arsenal got the ball, they wanted to attack down their left, because we're weak there with Gomez and Nico Williams, and they're obviously strong with the Bamiyang, that's where they got the goal from. And every time we attacked, we wanted to go down our left. So it was just like, if ever they won the ball back, it was like a crossfield pass, because both teams wanted to go down the left. It was an odd game.
And that's what I mean. I wonder whether if Trent had actually played, would we have... I'm not for a minute saying that Robertson didn't deserve the plaudits that you just gave him, because he did. He was by far and away the best player in your team yesterday. But I wonder whether actually had Trent been there, and therefore you'd had that balance of proper quality on both sides of the pitch, whether Robertson may have seen a bit less of it than...
It showed to me, and I tweeted this, it showed to me how important Trent is to the Trent-Salah relationship.
Yeah.
Trent gets the best out of Salah because they just know how to play each other. Don't get me wrong, Nico Williams is a young player. He's a very good young player. Got a lot to learn, clearly, against coming up against somebody like a Bamiyang, who's best in class when it comes to cutting in and tucking it away like he did. Absolutely phenomenal strike, wasn't it? He's got a lot to learn, Nico Williams, but the Trent and Salah axis is exceptional. And I noticed when I listened to the Planet FPL boys, so shout out to James and Suj. If you're not following at Planet FPL over on Twitter, you definitely need to do that.
Why on earth not?
You definitely need to do that. I was listening to one of the podcasts, and James was saying he's thinking about potentially the triple up for Liverpool defensively going into the season. And I'm looking at it thinking, why? Because after the restart, we didn't look that great. Didn't look that great against Arsenal. But he made a good point. He said, when all of those key players are in, when it's Trent, Van Dijk, Gomez, Robertson, Alisson, when it's that five, we are watertight. You take any one out of that cog, with maybe the exception of Gomez for Matip, but you take any one of those out, and we're not as good. We're not as good. Take the goalie out,
we saw that last season.
Take Trent out, Nico, he's good, but he's not as good. You put Tsimikas in there, a bit of an unknown quantity. Take Van Dijk out, clearly not as good. So the triple defence, James, I think, was saying, it's only on if we can keep those five.
Is he talking about the three expensive ones? Like, is he talking about owning Van Dijk, Trent and Robert?
He is, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I'm thinking about the Liverpool double up myself. I must admit, after Robertson's performance at the weekend, very, very good indeed. A quick shout out to Maitland-Niles, who I thought had a very, very good game for Arsenal.
Will he be there?
But, as he said, I tweeted this, the Arsenal, and I said, Arsenal fans, I can't believe you're getting rid of him. And I got a bit of an abuse back, said, we don't want him to go.
No.
We're not wanting to go.
And it was a really weird interview, wasn't it, that game with him after the Community Shield? Because the interviewer was kind of like probing, and he was kind of like, I don't know where I'm going to be.
Arsenal's in my heart, I think was his phrase. Yeah. Well,
and then I was
like,
wow, it's not sounding like it's you that's pushing this. It's not sounding like it's coming from the fans, so it's coming directly from above.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
But at the moment, still an Arsenal player. Doesn't look as if he's got Wolves in his heart. Another player who hasn't got Wolves in his heart anymore. Have Spurs, Sam. Have Daniel Levy. Has he pulled off the coup of the summer?
I don't know, but I'm so
Matt
pleased.
Doherty at Square, what's it, £2.50 or whatever they bought him for? It's an incredible transfer fee in today's market, to the point where, sorry to go back to Planet again, you do need to listen to these boys. James was saying, he feels like there's something right. He feels like wrong about it. He feels like there's something weird about this transfer that we're all missing.
No.
What are we missing with this transfer? It's bizarre. And what's even better is that Levy's going to go and get more than that, flogging Aurier to Italy. Some poor Milan team's going to pick up Aurier thinking they've got a bargain.
He wants to go back and join Ericsson, doesn't he?
Does he?
We team up with Ericsson.
He can go wherever he wants, as long as it's not Spurs.
I tell you what, I'm so... Normally...
You're happy, right? Happy for that signing.
I tell you what, with Levy this summer and Mourinho, I am absolutely thrilled with the pair of them. They've signed...
It's a fabulous signing.
They bought in Højbjerg, and it was like, yes, that's exactly what we need. Well done.
Yeah.
And then they've gone out and bought, literally, if you could have said to me, Liverpool boys aside, pick a defender in the league to have in Spurs, he would have been the one. Yeah. I would have gone, I want him.
You've gone from a liability at right
what
back
has happened?
To one
for
of 15, the best in the league.
15, like, what? Yeah. How?
Well, what's interesting is that I think we're about to see over the next few weeks, because the All or Nothing documentary that is coming out on Amazon Prime, I think tomorrow. So we need to go and get our Amazon Prime reactivated to watch that. And I think we're going to see I'm genuinely excited about this show because I don't know whether it's going to be like chewing the pillow cringe or whether it's going to be quality. Oh, I can't figure it out. But one of the quotes that sort of leaked out in the press is that Jose has said about Aurea that he says, I can't trust you.
He just said it to him during the game, didn't he?
So there we are. He said, right, I can't trust you. So he's gone to Daniel Levy, look, that's a player I can't have in my team. Go and get me a better right back. And fair play to Levy. He's not just done it, he's done it in style.
The thing is, I also think that Aurea is one of those players that his head has been turned. So at the end of doing Project Restart, he actually was brilliant. He was. There's no denying
Aurea.
It. Yeah,
well, I was going to say brilliant. No, he was. He was right.
No, he was. And if you look back at the change in Spurs to Wolves, and he was. Yeah, you know, he was. I think you have to give him that. During Project Restart, he was brilliant, particularly when you consider the circumstances in his private life at the time.
That is very true.
But we get to the end of Project Restart and the break, and all of a sudden this AC Milan thing comes up, and it becomes quite clear quite quickly with a player if they want to go.
Yeah.
Because if they don't want to go, they either say something like Maitland-Niles did about, you know, it's in my heart, or they just shut it down. It's not happening. But with Aurea, he said nothing. And normally, that I'm not saying anything is like Ericsson style, I'm off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they announce it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
How's your pronunciation of your new right back, by the way?
Doherty.
Is it?
I think it's Doherty.
I don't know. Don't even at us, guys.
I'm just going to call him the Doc.
No, that's even worse. That's even worse. You get all the Irish, on Twitter. Look, going, don't call him
honestly,
Doc. There's no cut in there.
Doh. Let's just call him Matt.
Matt.
I think I'm thrilled. And I think, so there was a lot of, when I posted about it on Instagram earlier today, there was a lot of really interesting, so divided comments from an FPL point of view as to whether people now thought that it made him...
Is he in your draft, yes or no?
Well, I haven't changed it, but now he will be. Because I think...
Okay.
So when I had a really lovely chat with Danny, who's one of our patrons in the Slack earlier, and he was... Because he's doubling up with the Spurs defence this season.
Ooh,
and Danny's like a... But Danny's like a proper FPL manager. Like, he's not...
he's not like us two.
No, not like us. Like, he's a proper FPL. Like, he really knows what he's doing. And so when he did it, I was like, what are you doing? And then I thought...
Is he going Dyer and Doherty? Is that what I say?
Well, he's gone Dyer and Davis at the minute.
Oof.
I actually noticed that they were the ones I flagged on my scout article, so I'm not saying...
He's copying you. Yeah.
But I think, so he's going to go with the double up, and his justification for it was great. But I think for me, suddenly, with the new boy coming, I think it makes him a better FPL asset. Because everyone was like, it will stop, he won't go forward. No, go and listen to the interview he did with Spurs TV. He's not been bought to stay at the back. He's saying, you'll see me everywhere.
It'll be very interesting to see what he does because tactically there was a lot of talk last season about the left-back Davies coming in and forming the three while the right-back, which was Aurea at the time, has the licence to bomb forward. However, last few games of the season, you didn't do that. He resorted back to having a far more steady and solid sort of looking back four and that right then Aurea didn't go forward quite so much. So it'd be interesting to see what tactic Jose Mourinho comes up within the first few games. I must admit, I don't think I'm going to have Doherty, or however you want to pronounce it, in my game week one team. But I will absolutely be keeping an eye on him.
Come
because
on
the minute he starts to look decent...
He's even wearing his old colour.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm in my Wolves colours and everything tonight. But listen, as soon as he's... If he first couple of games looks good, he'll be in because Spurs fixtures look good for 8 or 9 weeks.
I mean, we'll come to this in a minute because we've got to say hello. But the interesting, the interesting thing for me is what does this mean for the Wolves defence?
What does it mean for the Wolves defence?
Because
we all
go to them.
No Johnny Otto.
No
ACL. No Doherty. Doherty. Gone.
So what do we do now?
Interesting.
Let's play low.
It could actually be a complete change of formation.
Well, I think suddenly... I think it will be. And I think suddenly...
Back five might become a back four, right?
Yeah. And my FPL team looks like a very different approach to the back line.
Yeah. I remember I was speaking to a few of the Wolves guys on Twitter. They're saying... Vinagre is not a good pick. He's not a good pick. That back four is not what we want to be doing. And I see what Espirito Santo's doing is he wants another man forward. Maybe that lack of goals since the restart after game week 30 last season. He's like, maybe I need a Jota in there. I need a Podence in there. I need somebody else attacking the whole time. I need more goals. But maybe that's the detriment of the defence. Who knows, guys? Who knows? Listen, we do need to... You're absolutely right, Sam. Need to say hello to a few people. We're 17 minutes in.
I've not messed the screen up.
The screen looks all right. We've got away with it so far. Guys, we're going to be talking about essential picks. Now, love it or hate it. I know some of you hate that word. I know some of you are like, no one's essentially. What are you talking about? Is anybody at 100% in FPL? No, Lisa. Don't throw the E word around. And I get it. But I think there are two or three picks that I think, in my mind, haven't left my draft since I started it.
How many tweaks have you done? How many changes?
Not many. Not many, to be honest. I put in a bunch of them when I saw the prices. I changed some of them when I saw the fixtures. I changed some of them based on the football yesterday. And I did have Ziyech, but I see that he's done a bit of a knee, hasn't he? So maybe I'm not sure about him until I hear a bit more news that he's going to be fit for game week one. But yeah, not a lot. Not as much as I normally would do,
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I feel a bit like, but I feel quite...
calm.
Calm.
Feel calm about it. It's the way to be. Listen, we've got to say hello. We've got
Matt Doherty at the back. We've got to be stressed.
Got triple Spurs. What could go wrong?
Triple Spurs. Yeah. I have got double, but wait.
We've got some essential picks, guys. We've also got a bit later on about five players that no one's talking about. No one's talking about these players. A lot of talk on Twitter about the usual players. We come on every Sunday and we talk about, you know, who's essential. We talk about Aubameyang and obviously Trent, etc., etc. But I've picked, or between us, we've picked five players that very few people are talking about that could be nice differentials for your FPL teams. I've also got an update on my draft. Like I see, Ziyech is out. I've gone double Liverpool at the back, so I'll talk a bit more. I had Mount, then I had Ziyech for a bit, I've done a bit of tinkering, to be fair.
I've probably done more than you've let on.
But, you know, bearing in mind, a couple of weeks before the start of the season, my camera reel on my phone is normally just screenshot after screenshot of team. It's not. I have tinkered, no doubt about it, but it's not, you know, it's not mass tinkering like I normally would. But yes, I have done a little bit. So we've got a bit there. You can rip into my team if you want. Come and rip that.
You know, I will. Just play some mind games.
Well, the mind games have started already.
The Mourinho style.
In fact, we had our first ever, Sam, Zoom patron get in touch with me today and say, Lee, I'd love to use one of my Zoom sessions with you before the season starts. I was like, that's great, fantastic. I'd love to do that with you. Speaking to Eddie next Wednesday, Eddie from our Patreon, how are we doing, Eddie? Speaking to him this coming Wednesday about his FPL team and how he's setting it up for the beginning of the season. Zoom patrons, get in touch if you want to do that before the season starts. You'd be more than welcome to do that. Any of you that want to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family, the new Zoom tier is available. If you want to go and check it out and speak to us one-to-one about your FPL team, you can absolutely
do
that.
That is like a win then.
Well, I said to Eddie, do you want to speak to Sam or me? It's up to you. He said, I'm going to speak to you, Lee. I said, yes.
So you're counting that as a win,
I'm taking that as a dub. That's absolutely fantastic. Okay. Then he said, thanks, Eddie. Then he said, well, I don't want to talk to you because I'm pretty sure everyone else will want to talk to Sam. I'm sorry. Cheers. Yeah, cheers, Eddie. He's a Liverpool fan, so we're just going to...
Oh, I love
just going to shoot the breeze about, I don't know, winning the league and stuff.
Has Eddie said whether this is going to be a video that he... he's going to share?
He's going to decide at the end.
Okay.
We're going to record
Depending on how good advice you give him.
We'll record it, and then it's up to Eddie whether he wants to share it with the community, whether he wants to share it just with the patrons, or whether he wants me to delete the video. It's entirely up to him. So listen, we've just missed a super chat. So before we say hello, let's say hello first and foremost to Nehal. Thank you, Nehal. He says, any love for Davis? Would Sessegnon replace him? Sam, quick chat about your left-hand side. What are you saying?
If you're a scout member, go and read my article that I wrote over there. Davis is the one, actually, that I, of all of the research, I spent a long time looking at the Spurs defence. Funny that. Davis is the one, actually, of all of them, that I think could be a really good option. Okay. I think Dyer's a nice pick because, obviously, he's probably nailed. Okay. But I don't see Sessegnon. I don't think he's quite ready. So, yeah, I think it'll be Davis. There might be the odd rotation, but not a lot.
Okay, very good. George Holly is in. George, how are you doing? He's saying Van der Beek will be good for Manchester United. Yeah, just as we were coming on, Manchester United managed to pull off a transfer in 24 hours, which
it can't be true.
Astounding, frankly.
It's not been dragged out for about 8 years, so it can't be true.
They've literally got their business done without any fanfare and actually captured a half decent player. So, Manchester United fans, if you're in the chat, if you're watching the replay, get in the comments below. Let us know your thoughts on Van der Beek. I don't know enough about him to pass comment in reality, the Ajax man. But
him.
Looks very, very good. Yeah. So let's have a look at him, yeah. Let's have a super chat here from Leyland Edwards. Thank you, Leyland. He or she, don't know, so sorry, Leyland. Hi, guys. Sam, would you do the Dare Skywalk at the Spurs Stadium?
Right.
Would you do it?
Okay, so I really, really want to do this. So I said to Lee, on my birthday this year, both of the kids are at school. That's what I want to do. He's got to come with me.
I'm 100% not
that cockerel. So how many years have I been obsessed with that cockerel that's on the roof of the Spurs Stadium? Like ever since I was like knee high to a grasshopper. I am desperate to do that on my birthday. And this misery guts won't come with me.
Up there.
He won't come. How bad do you think that is?
I do not like heights, and I'm not getting up there. I'm telling you, I'm not getting up
you
there.
You are. On my birthday, you'll see some pictures of us. Up by the Cochrane on the Spurs roof, guaranteed.
By the way, Chance of Dan's doing it on Monday.
Oh, you see, don't... Right, you've
doing
got...
Doing it tomorrow.
On my birthday, I think that's only fair.
I'm happy to send you up
no,
there.
No, you're coming too.
I'm not coming.
You are coming. How can I get by myself?
Another super chat from Nehal. Thank
miserable.
You. Robbo over Trent. Any risks here? Any risks? Well, listen, of course there's a risk because half the game, if not more than half the game, is going to have Trent going into it. But it's going to be very difficult to say have Robbo instead of Trent. Could you have both? Yes, absolutely. But based on what we've seen so far in pre-season, Robbo is hitting the ground running. And at 15%, he's going to be mega differential. Not mega, but he's a big differential versus Trent, right?
There wasn't a massive amount of difference between their points total last season.
Well, listen, I'll come to...
So if you think you could use the 0.5...
Well, I'm going to come to my reasoning for picking him, Robbo, in my draft right now when we talk about my draft. But a lot's got to do with that 7 million bracket. You were talking about Mount in my team. I was looking at Mount, I was thinking... Oh, I'm not really feeling that. And I sort of looked around the other sevens. I thought, I'm not really feeling that. And then I thought, Robbo 7? Why not just have Robbo and just have a bit of a cheaper midfield? So there's a lot to consider there. But right now, he's in my draft. Let's see who else is in. H17 is in. Casey Skinner's here. Hey, Casey,
hey,
how are we doing?
Casey, I think you should do the dare with me.
I'm sure Casey Skinner would be very happy to see
and
me walking mum. Around the top of the Spurs
fact,
stadium.
Casey, mum. Get your mum to sort Lee out, please.
No, thank you. Not doing that, thank you. Abhishek, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. Mason Holden is in. How are we doing? The Doc is a massive gooner. Now,
no, you'll find he's not, because he's deleted all trace of Arsenal from his whole life.
How good was that on social,
honestly,
wasn't it?
One of the funniest things Spurs have ever done.
Spurs and all Premier League sides are getting a lot better with their player announcements
Spurs
on social
comedy.
Media. I think it's really good.
This was real comedy. That was properly funny. And Matt,
really good.
I'm going to call him Matt now, it's safer.
Matty D.
His faces were hilarious. It was almost like he went with it, didn't he? It was really good.
He did, very good. If you've not seen that, I think it was on the Spurs Instagram or the Twitter or something.
Yeah, I think they put it on all
They
there.
Did an announcement video where Doherty was seen scrolling back through his tweets and deleting all the ones with reference to Arsenal, basically. Very good, yeah, very, very good. Another super chat from Nehal, thank you. Nehal, really getting in on here tonight with the super chats. Thank you. Big FPL family fan. Thank you, Nehal. First time got to you live. Wow, thank you. Thank you for joining us live, Nehal.
Wait,
tell us whereabouts you are in the world. Liverpool fan too, yes. So, Lee, thoughts on Mane over Salah? Well, listen, I think it's still a bit of a coin toss between the two. Mane, of the two, looked probably more threatening than Salah yesterday in the Community Shield, but that ain't saying much because Salah did not look that great at all. Now, what I will say, and we'll talk a bit more about this when we talk about my draft, I go back to the beginning of last season. Liverpool did start slow.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Not only did we lose Alisson in the first game, all right, we won 4-1 against Norwich, but even then, Hanley scored an own goal to open the scoring, so that was a bit jammy.
Yeah.
And then we kind of went to Southampton in game week 2, and it was very, very poor until Mane popped up with like a worldie right on half time. And then Danny Ings, I think, you know, nicked it off of Adrian. It made it difficult last 10 minutes. So, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, at the beginning of last season, Liverpool just got the job done. And that's what Liverpool did pretty much until October, early November, actually. And actually, you know, after that, we're fantastic. Very hard to beat. But we just won the games by odd goals, or we weren't particular. I don't remember Salah having like a really, really outstanding game until sort of 2 or 3 months in. So my fear going into this season, we all lump on Salah or we all lump on Mane. And actually, they're not quite as explosive as we thought. At a time when first 2 game weeks, you could captain Aubameyang quite easily, couldn't you? Quite easily. And in game week 3...
Apart from that, it's the first game of the season.
Well, yeah, but...
And I don't
listen,
like...
It's like we're all going to be going into game week 3. Most of us, I think, the general consensus is you're going to have Alba, I think. And you're probably going to have a Salah or a Mane in the way that Nihal is suggesting. Now, if you have one of those two, probably, I don't know, generalising, but one of those two's probably got to make way for a De Bruyne or a Sterling if you want them from game week 2 or 3. At the moment, I don't know, I can't forecast anything. Aubameyang might be rubbish first 2 games, but let's say he does well and Salah doesn't. That's a very difficult decision. Could you be going into game week 2 or 3 without Salah or without Mane? And actually, if you don't have Salah and you want Mane instead, like Nahal's suggesting, why not? It's a nice differential. If you're going to be captain in Aubameyang anyway, stick Mane in. He's differential. Going to be better for you. I don't know. Listen. All to be discussed a bit later when we talk about my draft.
I think we missed 3.
There's a few more super chats. Yeah, Rohan. Thank you, Rohan, for the super chat. Thoughts on Pereira. Mateus Pereira from West Brom. He's in my draft, but considering Ward-Prowse. Now, this guy is exciting. No doubt about it. Can he make the step up to the Premier League? That is the big question. For West Brom in the Championship last year, You guys will tell me the stats better. So many assists, goal threat as well. In actual fact, if you were going to look through that West Brom squad, at 6 million, he's probably the only one you'd have a look at seriously in that West Brom team. I think you've got a bigger problem with the West Brom team and how they're going to cope in the Premier League, frankly, is my view. But if you're going to have a look at anybody, at 6 million, he might be all right. Do you know much about him? You're considering him?
No, I'm not, because the way that my team is kind of set at the moment, unless I have a massive change to the way my team is structured and therefore invest more money in the back, then I might need somebody like him.
Yeah.
But no, to be honest, I fear a bit for West Brom. I fear they might be the Norwich. Yeah.
Nice player,
season.
But a watch.
Yeah.
Watch list player.
And the good thing is that he's not going to be highly owned and he's cheap. So if he does suddenly start performing well at the start of the season, it's not difficult to bring him in.
No, indeed. Okay. We've got a super chat from Billy Tolan Brown as well, but the message was retracted. So he did. Looks like he did
something.
A super chat and then didn't want to say it. So Billy, if you pop up in the live chat, I'll see if I can see your message, mate, and we'll read it out. Josh Oram. Hey, Josh. How are we doing?
Ah,
very nice
Josh.
To see you, Josh. Can I trust Dendonka and Saka? Well, listen, Josh, we've got a bit about Saka later on. Now, Dendonka, do we want to go there? I don't think so. I'm not getting massively excited about spending one of my, let's face it, coveted midfielder slots this season on Dendonka. But Saka at 5.5? Maybe. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about him in particular.
I'm not sure that Dendonka will be the same Dendonka. Like last season, we all had Dendonka because he offered that value pick. But there's quite a few good value picks this season. So there's
super
potentially
cheap,
better ones.
Just super cheap.
Yeah, for this year.
Another super chat from Nahal. Thank you. That's loads of super chats. Nahal, I hope you've got the bill payer's permission for all of these super chats. He's from the US, I think it sounds like. 4.5 Martinez is a decent shout to continue. So Martinez... Yeah, we touched on this a little bit before when we were talking about the Community Shield. Yes, he is, but... And I think it'd be harsh, actually, if Arteta went, OK, well, let's now back to Leno. But that almost throwaway comment by Arteta just gives me enough cause for concern, doesn't it, you?
It does me, because actually, I spent a lot of time looking at the Arsenal defence and thought, there's Maitland-Niles, there's so many of them you could pick Tierney. But actually, the keeper... position is quite a nice one because it's a bit of a struggle position this year for price, and if it's Martinez then that's a nice, really nice option as a keeper, but I do feel it's a risk.
Okay, all right, well listen, we've got loads of you in, we've had so many super chats so we've not said hello to everybody else. So here's Billy saying Saka at 5.5, accidentally deleted it, lol. We will talk about Saka, Billy,
a bit later on, mate.
I love that. That's classic. Yeah, absolutely classic. FPL Companion is here. How are we doing? We've got Azzy in as usual. Azzy, who's here every damn week, Azzy. What a legend. Thank you, mate, for joining us. The FPL Fan Show is here. Guys, new YouTube channel with FPL Prince. I think he's leading the show over there. The FPL Fan Show. After the show tonight, go check out the FPL Fan Show over on YouTube. New YouTube channel, which is growing really fast. Nearly at 1K subs. Already, nice. Only been going a few weeks, so go check out the guys over there. We've got FPL Tips. Harry is in. How are we doing, Harry? Very nice to see you. Scott Schrager, the OG of FPL Family Patron, the first ever.
We still haven't put his
FPL
picture
family
on the
patron. We haven't put his family his picture on the wall. His family on the wall? That'd be weird.
We're
even
not
weirder
putting his family
his
on the wall, but we will get a picture of Scott on the wall.
Scott, get in the Slack and send us your picture. Not of your family. That'd be weird. That'd be weird.
Imagine if his family's watched us and there's a picture of them on the wall.
Scott Schrager's family. Imagine people coming, our family's coming to us.
Who's that
on the wall? It's Scott Schrager's family. Jason Nibs is here. Rushil Jossi, who's always here. Loads of you in tonight, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been... That's half the stream taken up with saying hello, Sam. We want to get to... we're going to talk about these five players that no one's talking about in a bit. But let's first talk about the word that everybody hates, Sam. Everybody hates. There's our Twitter. There's our Twitter, which everyone loves, by the way. Everyone loves our Twitter. At FPL Family on the left-hand side. They've just gone over 30K this week, by the way. 30,000 followers on Twitter, guys. Thank you very much for that. That's absolutely sensational.
That is sterling work. You deserve a bit of a...
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Sterling work.
Thank you.
Particularly, it's got our new Scout badges on it.
Yes, the new Scout badges are on. Our affiliation with Scout knows no bounds. We've got little badges and achievements and PlayStation-style achievement unlock stuff. Now, mostly down to you and the pundit stuff, of course. Absolutely nothing to do with me. So there's the Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Same over on Instagram. And, of course, you can search Facebook for FPL Family as well. Before we move on, I'm running out of so many super chats. I'm running out of breath. I missed another super chat. It's from Jose Mercado. Thank you, Jose, for the chat. It's thank you for the chat. No comments. Just lost for words with the speed at which we've run through.
Let's just say hi.
Hi, Jose. Very nice to see you, and thank you for the super chat. So there's the Twitter. We are going to talk about essential players, Sam. Essential. People hate that phrase, and I must admit, I'm not a big fan of it. But there are some players that have been in my draft from the minute they were announced, and I haven't tinkered them in or out. Are you the same? And I've put three there on the screen right now. These are the three that I had. As soon as they were announced, I was like, they
Who's
are
that?
In.
Trent Aubameyang?
That is Trent. That is Aubameyang. And that is Mr. Souček from West Ham.
Oh.
Who I think is absolutely incredible value, guys. At 5.0 in your midfield, he is absolutely perfect fifth midfielder fodder. Absolutely perfect. Now, I know what you're going to say. West Ham, they've got Newcastle home game. Well, and after that, it is a... Oh, man, it's hard for West Ham.
Yeah.
It's like 6 or 7 weeks of just carnage. And then it gets maybe a little bit better, but they've got a very tough run to start the season. But listen, not expecting Souček to have to play for me every single week. He scored in a West Ham friendly the other day. This guy, what more does he need to do?
Do you think...
To get in everybody's teams.
Do you think he's going to be like the Dendonka of last season? Where... Or the Lundstrom of last season, who starts everyone's game weeks on the bench and then scores goals and irritates everybody.
Well, possibly, but as Josh and Wugu is saying, thank you, Josh, for the comments, Souček is like a Fellaini 2.0. I'm with you on that. They look for him at every corner. Aerially is really good.
Yeah.
He's in and around the danger areas at set pieces. He's 5 million. What do you want for 5 million? Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Listen, before you answer that, quick super chat. Another one from George Malaley. Thank you, George, for the super chat. Good evening, guys. Good evening, George. He says, thanks for the great content. Appreciate it, George. Appreciate it. He's absolutely here, Sam, for the Doherty bandwagon. He's absolutely there. He's on it.
Come and join
locked
me.
In. Possible triple captain fodder there for George Doherty.
Doherty.
He's not. I've made that bit up, but he's here for the Doherty bandwagon, no doubt about
right,
it.
Right, game week one. Let's just triple captain. What I loved is that he said, I signed my contract. He said, and I told my wife we've got to move now because he wanted to be there for the friendly yesterday. I love that.
And getting back on topic, Nihal, thank you for the super chat again. He's saying Souček links well with Bowen and Antonio. I do think West Ham have got this really difficult start to the season. I still do think their defending is going to leave a little bit to be desired. But it's reasonably exciting times going forward, isn't it? If they can keep Yarmolenko fit, which is a very big if. If they can keep Antonio fit and firing in the way that he did since game week 30 last season, they've got a pretty good forward line. They Souček chipping in as well.
Look,
Lanzini, your favourite in behind.
And Felipe Anderson. I've always said...
Oh, forgot about him.
I've always said that West Ham have got some decent players about them. We all know I've got a love affair, which is kind of... We don't really know why, but I do love Lanzini. I love Felipe Anderson. I think Yarmolenko is an outstanding player.
Is he outstanding?
Yeah,
you're coming out with these superlatives tonight.
No, I do.
Brilliant
I
for
do.
Aurea and outstanding for
I
did. Yarmolenko.
All right, I've come out with them twice. Shut up over there in your Wolves talk. I think West Ham have been incredibly unlucky over the last few seasons in that they have had a lot of injuries to key players and they've just not managed to keep their squad in good nick. Now, if this season is the one where they can, because I think in Souček they have got a nice player that links up well from the middle to the attackers.
Yeah.
Then they've got a chance during this hard run of picking up something. Last year, if these players get injured, then they've got 7 game weeks. This is just going to be hell for them.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
So that's my only concern with West Ham. But Souček, at 5.0, he is a really nice enabler. And there's nothing not to like about him.
I think he's great for 50.
His ownership will be really high.
It will be. Jose Macedo, thank you for the super chat again. Mate, you didn't need super chat again. If you'd have just said, hello, I'm here, I would have absolutely read it out. But thank you for the second super chat. He said, hi guys, front three. His front three, Jose's, is Kane, Werner and Martial. Expensive front three. And he's got Robbo and Trent at the back. He's only got funds for left for one premium midfielder. So he's going to be shopping around in the Wolves right wing area. Might be... Traore could go for Neto, could go for Pudence. So listen, bit more on Daniel Pudence a bit later on because I got a good feel about this guy and one of my players that no one's talking about. And Jose's just gone and proved me wrong by talking about him. But listen, Jose, that is a nice strategy. It's a very different strategy. A lot of FPL managers looking to load up on the midfield. But if you're looking to load up front in the way that Jose is, can't put you off that either. Werner getting off the mark in, 4 or 5 minutes for Chelsea in a friendly the other day. So he's wasting no time whatsoever and getting off the mark. So listen, essentials. These are my three that I've always had. Tell me, is Aubameyang going to... How are you feeling about Aubameyang? Great performance in the Community Shield. Smiles on his face all day. Did not look like the sort of player that was going to about to leave Arsenal.
No.
Right? And of course, you know, the reporters, the BT reporters did a pretty good job at the end of trying to get him to answer the question about when are you going to sign the contract, etc., etc. And he, you know, wouldn't be, you know, he didn't want to comment on it. Of course, he's not leaving, is he? The way that Arsenal are playing right now, the Arteta's managerial style, which you will hear more about, or you will have heard more about on the FPL Raptor video we did a couple of weeks ago, the way that Arteta... You know, he's got this very personable style in the way that he, you know, manages his players. Aubameyang's got to stay, isn't he? He's got to be great in FPL for us.
If you'd have spoken to me on Friday about it, I was firmly in the camp that I had Aubameyang because obviously the first two game week, the fixtures are lovely. But I wasn't convinced he'd still be an Arsenal player by the time game week one rolled round. And in my head, I was like, oh, that would really help me out if he disappeared because suddenly I got more budget. And then I watched the Community Shield yesterday and I thought, pants, he's still going to be there, isn't he? And I'm going to have to spend the money on him. He was still out left.
He's not going to come up against a Nico Williams every week that's going to show him inside, although he can do that.
No, but in the first two game weeks, he's going to come up with players similar, got Tim Ream, or, you know, let's not talk about...
you leave Timmy alone.
So, I think... For me, for sure, the first two game weeks with Aubameyang, as you alluded to earlier, the difficulty is going to be that come game week three, when we all went to bring in a Man City asset, you're going to then have to make a tough call between...
It's very hard, right?
...between who leaves your team, because presumably you're going to have Aubameyang plus Salah or Mane plus probably a Man United midfielder...
Waiting to come in, yeah.
...or that you might have already had for game week one and benched... in the likes of Bruno or Rashford, or maybe if you're going cheap, Greenwood or Van der Beek, or if they're still going to get Sancho, whoever it's going to be. Now, suddenly, that's a tough decision then, because what I can see happening is Aubameyang doing really well in game weeks one and two, Salah not doing so well in game weeks one and two, and then you've got a straight choice between do you lose the Egyptian King, whose fixtures are nicer but hasn't been performing well, or losing Aubameyang, whose fixtures are harder but has been performing well. And as you've just said, I think for me it will come down to the fact that I don't trust Aubameyang to play up front. I think he's gonna stay out wide and he won't always come up against weak defences. And if he's gonna come up against strong defences, it's gonna be harder for him out.
So if you think he's gonna be stationed out left a lot of the time, why are we not all piling into Eddie Nketiah at 6 million?
Because I don't see Arsenal scoring a lot of goals.
What?
No, I don't. I don't see
any... Really?
I don't see Arsenal... I see Arsenal being tighter at the back, and we saw that in the Community Shield.
Right.
And I see them being... I don't see them creating a lot of opportunities for Nketiah, put it that way. I think Aubameyang...
Okay.
I mean, I owned Nketiah last season, and I just don't feel like he is the right one. Plus, we still don't really know what's going on with Lacazette. So there's all of that.
He's going Lacazette, isn't he?
But I thought Aubameyang was going, and he doesn't appear to be. So I think with the forward line that Arsenal, and this is the thing I hate, and I alluded to this in my Ohana this week. Normally the window is kind of closed, and you're like, right, okay, the window's done, and I know who I'm dealing with. This year we've got to wait till October the 6th for the window to close. Like, anything could happen.
Here's a nice stat for you. No one since the beginning of last season, other than Kevin De Bruyne and Trent Alexander-Arnold, have created more assists than which Arsenal player? Saka. He's the third most creative...
Saka?
Yes. Bakayo Saka. He has got the third most amount of assists since the start of last season.
What, in the whole league?
In the whole league. So you can't say to me Eddie Nketiah is not going to get right. chances credit from him. He's got Aubameyang on one side and Saka on the other.
How many chances did you see Nketiah, clear-cut chances, did you see Nketiah get yesterday?
Oh, yesterday. It's a glorified friendly. If we'd have won it, it would have been a great game. But it's a glorified friendly.
How
yesterday.
Many chances? Because I owned Nketiah for pretty much all, in fact, I think all of Project Restart. I didn't see him get that many chances.
Right. Well, Micah McClatchy's in. Why didn't lack of play yesterday. Yeah, it's a funny one for me. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest with you. Benny Blanco, he said, Sam is just a pure Arsenal hater.
It's not that. I mean, I've gone to have a Bamiyang and I probably will end up with a defender as well. It's not that it's actually, you forget my hatred of Arsenal, because FPL, you can't think like that. You just have to go with the players that are right. But with Nketiah, okay. I just don't see it this season. And I had the faith in him in the last pre-Project Restart. And maybe that's why, maybe my lack of showing from him then.
Okay. Just want to just pause for a second and just say, Sam, over 1,100 people watching right now, which I think is an FPL family record. Guys, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks,
1,100
guys.
People watching. Hit that like button, guys, if you're enjoying the show. And even if you're not, even if you think it's complete guff with Sam and her, Eddie Nketiah is not going to get any chances with Aubameyang left and Saka right, which is complete nonsense. Give us a like anyway. Give us a like.
I'm going to count. In game one, I'm going to count the amount of chances that Eddie Nketiah gets. Genuinely, I am.
Outside of these three, do you feel is the dreaded E word? Who is anyone essential in your mind, or is no one essential? Who have you tinkered least with in your team? Who's been there since the first draft? Don't give me the Harry Kane. No, I'm not having it. Outside of Spurs, forget that. Who else? Give me Eric Dyer. I'm not interested in that.
I haven't even got Eric Dyer. Who's been there? So, Salah has been there.
Okay.
And Bruno Fernandes has been there, even with his
Bruno,
blank.
Okay. So you're saying Bruno is essential?
No, I don't think... Okay. So I think a Man United midfielder is essential. It's hard to narrow down which one.
Yeah.
And that's where my pondery is. Pondery?
Pondering.
That was a mix of quandary and pondering.
You're pondering over a quandary.
Pondering.
Nice. Okay, good.
And that's where my quandary lies for this season, is which Man United midfielder, because I
who's captain in Man United in game week sort of 2-3, by the way? Because they've got some challenges in Greece, haven't they, right now, Manchester United? So who's captain? Is it Pogba? Or is it he's got coronavirus, so he's isolating?
I mean, maybe it's the new guy.
Right, all the Man United fans are going to be going,
all
right.
You just want to go at me for being anti-Arsenal.
United fan in the live chat is going to go, Lee, we hate you because you're a Liverpool fan. But listen, do you think they've had an interesting summer, Manchester United?
They have had an interesting summer.
Got coronavirus, so he's obviously isolating for a bit, not in training.
Yeah.
Maguire's obviously had his challenges. Yeah. I think hasn't won. Bissaka also had some challenges with travel and having to isolate and gone away on holiday and stuff.
Lingard, so
some of the guys have gone away maybe against the will of the club and things like that. So it's a bit like they've had an interesting summer. The Sancho things kind of come and gone. Are they going to be the Manchester United that we saw at the back end of last season going into game week 2?
Yeah.
You do think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Manchester United, we learnt from my biscuit tin exploits, weren't solid defensively last season. Then without Maguire, Maguire's going to be there, let's be honest. He's not going to not play. So he's going to be around. They won't be solid defensively, so don't go with a defender. But they may have Henderson. I mean, who knows which keeper they're going to play. Paying something like 700,000 a week to their two keepers.
It's a lot, isn't it?
What is that about?
It's a lot. I have to say, I think it'd be Dean Henderson.
If it's not, I need to know who to complain to. Because
no
it's
way
ridiculous.
That guy signs a new contract at Manchester United without some assurances that he's going to get game time.
It's ridiculous.
Outside of like League Cup. Do you know what I mean? He's got to.
Dean Henderson surely doesn't go. Anyway, defensively, let's forget that. But up in the midfield and in the attacking positions, I look at them and like Bruno Fernandes, Rashford, Greenwood, Martial, Pogba, the new guy, what's he called? Van der Beek.
Yeah. He's more of a defensive central midfielder, I think.
But still, that will help, because actually their defence is the weak point.
Shout out to Matic. I thought Matic played all right back end of last year.
Yeah, but their defence is a weak point, isn't it? So I think, you've got all of these really strong attacking players. Now, for me, there is absolutely no way that I want to be going into the nice run of fixtures that Manchester United have from game week 2 onwards without one of them. The difficulty lies in, Rashford and Bruno were sharing penalties last season. Presumably that's going to continue this year. So it's not like, you pick the talisman and they've got penalties and you just love them forever. It's a bit harder with them too, because you don't know which one's on the pens and who's not. Greenwood, if Sancho arrives...
Sancho's not going to arrive.
Well, it's not dead yet.
It's not happening.
He's not dead yet. Then he's a non-event. Martial's...
My favourite transfer linking of... Sorry, Man United fans. I will stop this in a minute. But they missed out on Sancho, and the next week they got linked with David Brooks. That's the biggest. If you're David Brooks, you must be feeling like, yeah, a bit sloppy seconds here.
Or if you're David Brooks, you're thinking, I'm the next best thing to Sancho.
I don't think so.
That's what I think. If Man United phoned me up, I can't get a Sancho, do you want to come?
Here's a question for you. Like, so, yeah. We've talked about Manchester United midfield there, and you're saying it's essential to have one of them, which is a bit of it's an oxymoron. I can't really get my head around it's essential to have somebody. That doesn't.
They're going to score a lot of goals.
Okay, well listen, what about, and I do want to talk about this very, very briefly, because he's not here and he might not be here, Messi, if he comes to the Premier League, would you have him in your team?
Yeah.
I think you'd have him all day, wouldn't you?
I'd get rid of everyone else.
Straight in.
You have to. If Messi's in the Premier League, I'm sorry.
I would do it just so I can say I'm triple captaining Messi this week. I'd maybe transfer him out the next week, but I want a triple captain Messi.
No, you wouldn't. If you bring Messi in, you don't transfer him out.
14 mil? 14 and a half mil?
You just pay it. You say, thank you gods of FPL, take my money, and here Messi is the captain's armband. You've got it for the next 38 weeks. Wow.
Would it be good or bad for FPL if he came
in? No, it'd be terrible for FPL.
Wouldn't it?
It'd be terrible. Because you
could... Perma cap for most people.
You couldn't not captain him. You'd have to get rid of half your other premiums to afford him. It would be a nightmare for FPL, but my God, would it be great to watch.
Oh, here we go. Comment from Chicken Msala. Hello, Chicken. How are you doing? Hello, Chicken. He's getting to hear, apparently, Sam, that Man U are going to hijack Thiago from Liverpool. Don't you start with me.
I was chatting to Josh earlier, and he was telling me that the Sancho deal is still not dead and that they're going to steal Thiago from you.
No, hate is going to hate. He wants to come to Liverpool. We're going to get him. You see him in that Champions League final. Oh, imagine we had him at Anfield. It'd be so good, wouldn't it? It'd be so good. Give everybody a lift.
Well, to be fair, you do need it. I mean, you weren't great yesterday.
Not as good as the Ox, though. Come on, the Ox. Still love you.
Where is he? I haven't seen him for ages. What's he doing? Is he injured?
See, no idea. On TikTok, probably. So there we go, guys. Those are the three players that haven't left my draft. And it won't shock you to hear that Trent and Alba are in there. But Suchek, maybe that's one you hadn't considered. But I honestly think, and I go back to a comment that I made on this live stream last week, when the official game were tweeting those players on that famous Friday when the players were coming out, they were drip-feeding the prices out. They were just like, right, here's Salah, Sterling, KDB, Suchek, you know, big player. And we were all like, huh?
Suchek?
Why have you tweeted about that? So that to me was almost official FPL saying, I've got one. Haven't I got one? Look at this.
Because we were all rioting at that point because it was all too expensive.
And they just chuck Suchek in there at five. I think it's.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Is there, talking about essentials, is there a percentage own point that when they hit that mark, you go, now they are essential because they are going to affect me too much if I don't own them?
No. I happen to, and I apologise for the clickbaity heading of this live stream, but I don't think anybody's essential in FPL. I think the essential thing is... No, I don't think anybody's... No one's essential. No one's essential. Is anybody at 100% owned?
No, but if they're at 50% owned...
No one's essential. Especially in this...
They're going to be dead. If they're owned by 50% of the game...
No one's essential.
By Christmas, then they're essential.
I don't know. I just think... No, just I don't think anyone's essential, especially with the amount of options you've got in midfield there, see. I don't think anyone's essential.
But listen,
that might change if a certain Argentinian makes his way to Manchester, because...
Where's he going to go?
Swapping a lifestyle in Barcelona for one in the northwest of England is one that I'm sure everybody wants to do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he wants to come to North London.
If he's got the choice of going to Paris... Or
North London.
Northwest or North London. I'm not entirely convinced. So there we go. I happen to think not
everyone's
essential.
Imagine if Levy brought in Messi. Spurs would just be on the floor.
Imagine Messi under Marino.
He's never spent any money. I mean, he somehow got Doherty for 50p and then he spends the rest of the budget on Messi. We'd all be on the floor.
Can you imagine your first ever Messi turn one side and he's got Sissoko and he looks over this show and it's Harry Winks? He'd be like, why is my life? He'd be like, what has happened? Why have I fallen so far from grace?
Too, Willie, because it's got Højbjerg behind it.
Oh, well, that'll make you feel a lot better, wouldn't it?
It would be.
What is my life? Messi at Spurs. Unbelievable. Guys,
we were linked.
Everyone's linked with Messi. Guys, we have to give a shout out to our new Patreon supporters. We've had tons of new Patreon supporters over the last few weeks as we've done these live streams. We're starting to get back into the cadence that is Fantasy Premier League. So guys, thank you for everybody that's joined us at the Ohana, at the Manager of the Month, or indeed at the new Zoom tier where you get to come and speak to us one-to-one. Those of you that have been patrons for us for a long time, like Scott Schrager, the OG, you'll be very familiar with our bonus podcast. We do an Ohana podcast every Friday. For those of you that don't know what Ohana means, it's a Ohana Hawaiian word.
Family.
It means family. Go look it up on Google. Bonus podcast every Friday, Ohana. Either me or you or both of us will do that. And then you'll get access to our Slack community as well, which is growing by the day. Some of the characters in there are absolutely fantastic. Need I say any more, Mr. Seanthorpe?
Did you see the other day somebody posted, it wasn't Sean, because Sean was annoyed about it, because he said that was going to be my next question for us. It was about, where do giraffes wear bow ties?
Oh, no, listen.
At the top or the bottom of their neck?
Yeah.
And honestly...
Difficult question.
Difficult. Hilarious.
Difficult question.
Hilarious.
So if you join us at the Ohana tier, you'll get those two things. And if you join us at the Manager of the Month tier for $5 a month, then you'll get those two things. You'll also get access to our free monthly competitions. Now, for those of you that have joined us in the Manager of the Month tier, you'll know that we are managing our... competitions, we can't call them mini leagues officially. We're managing our competitions outside of FPL season, and we're doing it very manually, but we're going to obviously be keeping you up to date on these live streams and on Patreon, on Twitter and everywhere else, and indeed on the Slack. It's to do with the new rulings around FPL. We're not allowed to charge entry for a mini league, etc. So we found a way around that by having a monthly competition outside of FPL, but we didn't want to just not do it because we loved it last season, and tracking that every month was sensational, giving away the prizes, some of the kicking the balls, things that you can see, or maybe not because I've got the camera on right now, but some of the prizes from kicking the balls, and we've got some other prizes as well. So go check out the Patreon Manager of the Month level. And then the Zoom tier, you get all of the things that you get in the second tier, but you get the Zoom sessions with us as well. You get to speak to either me or Sam for 30 minutes twice a season, and you can do that anytime you want. It might be when you're playing your wild card, maybe you're thinking of triple captaining, maybe you just want to come and, like Eddie's going to do on Wednesday, just come and talk about Liverpool for a bit. And if you want to put that video then on our YouTube channel, you can do that. If you want to promote your own YouTube channel, promote your own Twitter handle, promote what you guys are doing, then you can absolutely do that as well. Or you can choose not to. You can choose to delete that video at the end of that conversation and it can be never seen by any of your rivals ever again. You never know what you want to do. But listen, those are our three new Patreon tiers for this year. Patreon.com/FPL Family. If you want to go and check it out, want to come and support the podcast, support the video, support FPL Family, then that is the way to do it. Right, Sam, we are going to get into five players that no one is talking about.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's five players that no one is talking about. There's some real, there's a couple of rogue picks in here, but the first one I've picked in this section is Reece James, and it popped to the top of my timeline because one of our patrons, FPL Tips, who's always in the live chat, and I know he's in tonight,
and
FPL
a legend.
Tips, and a moderator for us here at FPL Family. Thank you, Harry, for doing that. He pointed out Reece James as a potential FPL asset. So let me just read this tweet out to you. He started today, I think it was yesterday, in the Chelsea friendly that they had.
Yeah.
I think they drew 1-1 with Brighton. Werner getting off the mark, and then a late penalty, I think, for Brighton got them, you know, a draw. But Reece James started in that game over an ageing Azpilicueta, who actually played at centre-half in that game. And you've got to assume that Azpilicueta, being club captain, is probably going to play, but maybe he's going to be more of a centre-half in a three this year with Reece James maybe wide, who knows. Thiago Silva coming in and Chilwell coming in is going to make Chelsea better defensively. And we'll get your thoughts on Thiago Silva in a minute. Very attacking, etc., etc. Loves a cross. Will overlap Ziyech, because what Harry's saying, and for those of you that don't know Tips or are not following Tips, you need to be doing that on Twitter, at FPL Tips with a Z, but he's a big Chelsea fan, and he's already noticed that Ziyech likes to get the ball and likes to come in almost like in a Salah-esque way when Trent goes around the outside. Is Reece James going to be in that sort of Trent mould with Ziyech on that side? And, of course, Reece James only 5 million FPL, so what are we saying? 3.5% TSB, so being criminally overlooked right now.
Yeah, so last season you were doing bonkers, wouldn't you, to own a Chelsea defender, because they were just not good defensively. That was their weak point. They know that, and this summer they have massively strengthened their defence. The new guys that have come in are going to make the world of difference, you would assume, to that Chelsea defence. Now, for me, Reece James last season was a bit of a risky pick because, as Tips has alluded to there, normally Azpilicueta is there, so there is that kind of difficulty when you're coming up against the position where the club captain plays. It's hard to break that. But if Azpilicueta is going to play more centrally, then that does open up that space for Reece James, and therefore that does make him a really nice FPL option. And I think this season in particular, when we're looking for players in that 4.5-5 bracket, he could be a really nice pick, because actually, you know, there are some other players in that bracket we've already mentioned earlier on about how, you know, are we trusting Wolves anymore? If you're no longer feeling the love for Wolves with the loss of some of, you know, Doherty, the key player in their defence, then actually Reece James looks like a really nice pick and some attacking upside there too. So there is a little bit of risk. I think there still has to be in terms of starts, surety of starts.
Yeah. Tell me about Thiago Silva, though, coming into the club. What a signing by Chelsea.
Yeah.
What a signing. Not only is this guy one of the best defenders we've seen in Europe for many, many years.
Yeah.
Okay, 33. I get it. He's,
you know, Excuse me, isn't that old?
He's not. Yeah, I know. It's not peak Thiago Silva. I get it. But if you're a young player at Chelsea,
yeah,
and of which there are many, as we know,
yeah,
and you've got a player like Thiago Silva coming to the club,
yeah,
I think that's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, what a mentor for some of the younger defenders to look up to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Kurt Zouma, you just got Thiago Silva coming into your club.
Yeah.
Who you're training with every day. I think it's an unbelievable piece of business by Chelsea. Unbelievable.
I think Chelsea...
For so many reasons.
I think, you know, Chelsea have done all the right things this summer. The players that they've bought are outstanding. I think, you know, you look at Zajcik, you look at Timo Werner, they've strengthened in the positions that they needed to, and they've particularly focused on the defence, and that is where they were weak last season. Only thing they haven't yet done, which they need to do, is sort out the goalkeeper behind, because I'm not sure that the clean sheets will always be there, because there was a great graphic that I was looking at the other day about keeper mistakes costing games and costing clean sheets, and Kepa was huge on that graph. That might limit
Reece
James.
That might be a problem. That might be a problem. Okay, on to the next one. Bukayo Saka. Bukayo Saka, who, here's the stat that I wheeled out at the beginning of the live stream. So he is in 6% of teams. I think that went up during the Community Shield. I think he was a lower percentage before that. So people are talking about him, right? So not like no one's talking about this guy, but he is getting now more regular starts under Arteta. He's very versatile. Hasn't got to play on that right-hand side. Better than Pepe, isn't he? Better than Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the fact that he's English as well. It makes me excited as an England fan to see all of this young English talent coming through. And Saka is absolutely up there. And if you want to go for Aubameyang for the first two, which a lot of people will be, and I've already said he's, in my words, essential because they've not tinkered him out of my team at all so far this season, is the double up with Aubameyang and Saka in midfield something worthy of consideration at 5.5 million?
Yes, but I think he's going to be your cheap one, right? So probably you're going to have... It depends on how your strategy is going to be, isn't it? Is he going to be four big ones and a little one, or three big ones and two little ones? If it's three big ones and two little ones, then Saka alongside Suchek makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you owned him for most or not, if not all, of Project Restart.
Yeah.
Wasn't set in the world alight, though, was he, in reality?
For his age, I think he was doing some really good things. And for his price back in FPL last season, where he was, I think, you know, not over 5 million, fantastic. You know, the odd assist, a little bit of goal threat. And that was his first season. You know, he was just starting to get into the team, and Arteta just sort of dropped him in there and said, off you go, go and do something, given that our season was kind of, inverted commas, over.
Yeah.
Now they're coming into this season, they've had... You know, a very short pre-season. They do have to keep going, no doubt about it. I think a lot of the young players at Arsenal, and he's one of them, and Nketiah is another one, and Willock and some of these players, they are going to feature. Mm. They are going to feature because Arteta's going to want to go and defend the FA Cup. He's going to want to go deep into Europa League. He's going to want to do better in the Premier League this season than the finish they had last year.
Yeah.
And from what we've seen already, I know it's the Community Shield, but what we saw in the FA Cup final, from what we saw at the back end of last season, I believe Arteta's getting it right there. And I believe that he's doing as good a job, maybe not quite as good a job as Frank, but Frank is doing a great job at Chelsea with young players. Arteta is doing a pretty damn good job as well with the young players at Arsenal. And he's bringing them through in a way that makes sense. And Saka, at 5.5 million, looks like a very good option in midfield for me.
I don't disagree. I think he is a good option. I think it depends on your strategy. I think my only concern with Saka is that I wouldn't play him and Aubameyang at the same time. And therefore, would I rather spend it somewhere else? But I do think he's a nice option. He's going to play. You would have thought there'd be regular starts there for the kid.
Okay.
And there's definitely talent there.
All right, so 6 million. Not like no one's talking about him, but listen, he's definitely under the radar for me. Another one that's under the radar. I think he's about to become very much on the radar because it feels like the All or Nothing documentary is just Ali or nothing. I think it's from all the trailers I've seen, it's all about Dele flipping Ali. Here he is, 8 million midfielder, Dele Ali, but in pre-season has shown us something. He's scored some goals, he's looking good. And I've noticed some of the quotes that Mourinho's been coming out with in the press, that, and you can see one on the screen here about, you know, he's talking about the fact that Sir Alex Ferguson gave him, you know, one piece of advice. He said, get Dele Alli, he's the one to have. He's clearly a Jose Mourinho favourite. And he's the sort of player that I think might do well under Jose Mourinho this season. So 1.7% team selected by. We've spoken about Spurs' fixtures. Let's not speak about it again. They are very good outside of a trip to Old Trafford in game week 4, which could be okay.
Mourinho don't.
But you've got sort of 8 or 9 game weeks of really nice fixtures. Under the radar, Dele Alli, no?
Yeah, 100%. And I think partly that's because there is potential for rotation in that Spurs midfield. But I do think Dele Alli is, apart from Son, he's the next one in terms of the team sheet that Mourinho draws up. So it's like, well, you're going to play Kane, you're going to play Son, and then it's Dele.
In a midfield where there are a lot of options that we might not want to go there with in FPL because we're unsure of starts, like Moura, like Lo Celso, like Bergwijn, like all these guys, but rotation worries me.
Yes.
Could you pay a little bit more of a premium over those guys for Dele Alli, knowing that he's going to get the start?
Yes, definitely. If you're looking at, I can't afford Son and I can't afford Kane, but I want Spurs for those fixtures, then he is the next best attacking option there in terms of he will start every game unless there's something wrong. He had that burglary and issues with Mourinho, and since then he is somewhat changed as a character. You can see that in his social media posts, in what he's doing. Normally you see Dele Alli go on holiday and it's all kind of lads, lads, lads during the summer on his Instagram.
Yeah.
This year it was him
knuckling down.
It was him and Kyle Walker-Peters on holiday together, and all they did was post training videos of the two of them training together.
Yeah.
Really fascinating to see the change in him and the development in him as a character. He's definitely aging. Not physically, obviously, but in terms of his mental strength of character, he's changing, and okay. I expect him to have a really nice season.
Okay, you guys are split in the live chat, to be fair. Josh Mwuga saying Alli in 2017 with the love hearts emoji. Yeah, it does feel like a long time ago since he was really top player. The rest of you are saying, you know, Ali's a bit of a trap, bit unsure. Listen, guys, these are players where I say no one's really talking about them. They're just possible differentials for your team. And I just think those Spurs fixtures, Mourinho and his team and his backroom staff must be looking at your start to the season and be thinking, we got to start well.
Yes.
We got to start well.
Because come Christmas.
Come November, Christmas, it gets very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And if you haven't started well, if Spurs aren't in and around that top four, actually, I would go so far as to say, if Spurs aren't in the top four at the beginning of that run, you won't get top four.
Okay, we'll be winning then by then.
Well, maybe. But you've got the fixtures to do it, no doubt about it. And people seem to be looking at Kane a lot, looking at Son, of course, looking at Son. No one's really looking at Dele Alli. No one's really talking about him. 1.7 team selected by. 8 million is quite a pricey price tag, no doubt about it. But in pre-season, like you say, has shown some form. Goals and assists for Dele Alli so far. Let's talk about a Wolves player that we've spoke about very briefly towards the top of the show. Daniel Podence, a player that actually I quite like the look of when I was watching Wolves in the restart, game weeks 30 to 38, back end of last season. Now, we spoke before about, you know, Spurs signing Doherty. Does that mean that there's a change in formation, a change of mentality for Nuno Espirito Santo's men? Is he going to look to get another attacking player on the pitch and drop that back three into a back four? And if he does that, is someone like a Jota or a Podence going to be far more of a regular starter? Listen, no one's talking about Podence. 0.5% team selected by. Fixtures don't look amazing to start the season for Wolves, Sheffield United and then Man City. But after the first two, look pretty good. It's West Ham, Fulham, Leeds. And then I think it goes on to be pretty good, actually. So the first two, maybe that's your opportunity to look at the likes of Podence. Look at how
Wolves without
Espirito Santo looks like without some of his key players, like Otto and with Doherty. What do you make of this guy? Do you think he's worth of a punt, or is he a wait and see until game week 3 and then act?
I really like him as a player. I think he's a fantastic...
Very direct, isn't he? Good on the ball.
And I like him... And you kind of know what you're going to get with Podence. Like, you watch him and it's the same sort of thing. And I like that about him. And I like Wolves for this season on the basis that they don't have the European football stuff that messed them around so much at the start of last season. But they... What we saw as they learned how to play in Europe was that they came good again in the Premier League. And I think this season, without that Europe, they should start in the way that they kind of did the season before last when they were really excellent. Now, the defence worries me a lot without Otto and without
The Wolves community on Twitter say the no Otto is potentially bigger than no Doherty, because Otto's leadership and everything about it, he's a big miss for Wolves.
Yes,
a big
absolutely.
Miss.
And I think they've just, keeper aside, they've just lost their two big men from that defensive unit. They've lost the two, they've lost the leader, they've lost the attacking kind of presence up and down the pitch.
And do you think Adama Traore plays there? But I think Adama Traore is going to play right wing back instead of Doherty now.
Well, if he does, it makes him a non-event for an FPL.
Depends on the system, doesn't it? Depends on the system.
Because the last thing you want is a midfielder playing in defence.
Yeah. But Pedence?
But Pedence and the attacking players I really like. And I like the fact that with him, I feel like with Nuno, when he arrived at Wolves, he kind of eased him into the team and it was kind of working out where he was going to go and how he was going to fit. I think this will be his breakthrough season at Wolves and we'll really see how good a player he can be.
Quite selfish on the ball, which from an FPL perspective, we kind of like, don't we?
And I also think that he could be one of those players that, like we saw last season, that with Jimenez and Traore, they were a nice partnership and goals came better when they were together. And I think we might see the same thing with Pedence and Jimenez this season.
Okay, all right. So FPL tips, Harry's in saying Pedence got a lot of potential. I agree with you. Another player that seems to be overlooked, and I apologise for putting this guy in, but listen, he scored a couple of goals in pre-season just yesterday. He got a brace against Charlton for Crystal Palace. 6.9% team selected by. £6 million forward. So he's in that Mitrovic bracket. He's in the, I won't say Bamford bracket, but he's kind of there. Reasonable start to the season in terms of fixtures, certainly home fixtures for Crystal Palace. Away looks a bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But the reason, one of the reasons I put AU in here is because there feels like, with some of the signings that are being made at Crystal Palace, and I'm going to ask you to pronounce their new signing rather than me, they've got, it feels like they've got a lot more intent to attack this season. And maybe that's going to benefit Jordan Ayew. If Hodgson can get the best out of Zaha again, if Eze can come in.
What? The best out of Zaha again? When was the last time we saw the best out of Zaha?
I had a poor season last year, no doubt about it. But that's what I mean. If Hodgson can get the best out of him again...
I mean...
Peak Zaha is a very good player, but Zaha last season was not a good player.
Where's Peak Zaha gone?
Well, who knows? But listen, the new guy coming in, Eze, however you say his name, guys, you'll be able to tell me. I think it's Eze. Looks a business, doesn't he? Lot of Twitter chat about this guy. And is Jordan Ayew going to benefit from having these better players around him?
Well, you would hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, and Jordan Ayew is a decent player. He got into a lot of good positions last time, but unfortunately I owned him for a while and the stats were always fine in terms of where he was and in the right sort of areas, but he just wasn't getting the service. There wasn't enough link up between the midfield and him. It just didn't go well for him last year, particularly. But this year, if they can manage to create that link, and we are, let's be honest, we're all going to be looking at a 6 million attacker. We're going to have to, the way that our teams go.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
I'll be surprised to see teams that don't have one of Ayew or Adams or Mitrovic.
We had a super chat earlier from someone that was Kane, Werner and Martial, but I agree with you.
But I think for the majority of people, Jordan Ayew, alongside Che Adams or Mitrovic, are going to be the player of choice up top. Now, of all three of them, Ayew is the one that worries me more, but not because of him, just because of Palace generally, because you just don't really know what Palace you're going to get. But if we get the Palace of old, who were, you know, creating good opportunities, then Ayew is, he is being massively overlooked if we get that Palace. If we don't, then unfortunately he's going to go another season where he's not getting the service he needs, but he's definitely, definitely one to watch. And
him
be a really
or
nice
Mitrovic to start the season, if you had to choose?
Probably go Ayew over Mitrovic.
Ayew over Mitrovic?
Probably. I mean, I'd probably go Che Adams over the pair of them. But Jordan Ayew, for me, just over Mitrovic. Just because the Palace are a Premier League side through and through, and Fulham have got a bit of a jump to make to get back there.
Fulham have got the fixtures, but listen, Jordan Ayew, only 6.9% team selected by, still in differential territory. Like you say, reasonable price tag at 6 million. Going to be a fair amount of choice there, I think, come game week one. Southampton, Everton and Brighton as the first three home games for Crystal Palace, so he could get off to a good start. There we go, guys. Those are just five players that we picked out. We don't. I mean, Daniel Podence, Dele Alli, Jordan Ayew, if you're going to have these guys. Look, for me, one of the things I'm going to try and do this season is have a little bit more fun with FPL. So many times I come on these live streams, particularly in the restart last season, I was just like, looked at my team, I was just like, oh, it's just template. It's just boring. I just was unenthralled by it. Whereas you're out there picking Snodgrass for his two deflected goals, St. Maximin coming in with his three assists, and I'm sitting there on, I don't know, just somebody boring. So I feel like I want a Reece James. I feel like I want to take a punt on Podence. I feel like I want somebody like an AU or a Dele Alli just to sort of spice it up a little bit.
Give you a Winterspoon trophy now. No, I'm joking. I actually think that those guys are good picks.
Yeah, thank you. Right, okay. Well, let's move on, guys. We've got another FPL Family X video coming up for you this week. So thank you for everybody that tuned in to the FPL Raptor managerial leadership styles videos over the last couple of weeks. Absolutely love doing those videos with Ross a couple of weeks ago. We've had a couple of videos, one where we talked about all of the Premier League managers from last season, so your Peps and your Klopps and your Guardiolas and your Mourinhos, and we spoke for ages in what I was hoping was going to be a 20-minute video, and we've got like an hour of content, fantastic stuff from Ross. And then we had a little bit less to say about Bielsa and Bilic and Parker in part two. But listen, the stuff that Ross comes out with on Bilic is absolutely sensational.
I kind of want to know what Ross makes of us as FPL managers.
I don't.
Can you do another video with Ross?
No, definitely
and
not.
And get him to say what he thinks of us.
Definitely not. But listen, if you haven't checked out those videos, we'd love it if you go and do that. That is the start of our new series of videos, FPL Family X, this season, where it's like FPL Family times somebody. So we're meeting somebody, right? And Raptor, if you've not followed him yet on Twitter, I encourage you to go and do that, taking a very fresh and new look, a very psychological look at the way the managers lead their teams and how that affects us from an FPL perspective. You've got one coming up this week.
I have, yes. So I had a nice chat with David, who's from FPL In The Dugout.
David Akehurst, yes. At FPL In The Dugout. Yeah.
So you'll find him mostly over on Instagram. He does have his own website, but he has just set up his Twitter account.
There we go.
This is subsequent to us having done our video, so you will be able to now find him on Twitter too. So we basically talked about the dream team and how useful the dream team is to us as FPL managers planning in for the new season. And then we had a go at planning out who we think is going to make the dream team for the 2021 season, and therefore which players we should be looking to have in our teams from game week one going into this season.
Very good. All right. And then we've got a very, very special video coming the week after. Look out for that one. My lips are sealed.
No spoilers, but it's
a good one. In the lead up to the new kickoff, the new Premier League season kickoff that weekend. So look out for that as well. Hit that subscribe button so you know when the FPL Family X videos go live, guys, and hit the little notification bell as well. Sam, have we got time to talk about my draft?
I think you missed a super chat.
Did I miss a super chat? Let's have a look.
I think so.
Super chats have been flying in today, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes,
I did. Philip Blundell, thank you for the super chat. Saka got an assist in a front three. So there you go. Not that he's in my little no one's talking about him video, but listen, he's getting the assists. He's a nice little player. 5.5, you could do a lot worse, but he's in there with the St. Maximans, isn't he? And I think you like a bit of the Newcastle man, don't you?
Oh, I do love a bit of St. Max.
Good Lord. Well, that could be taken out of context. Someone clip that. So there we
don't tell them to clip it, they will. Somebody on the Slack has clipped my death stare and made it an emoji-like, so that every time you can now click on my death stare if you
Beautiful.
Don't like someone's comments in the Slack.
Absolutely love it. Just before we go, guys, Sam, feel free to rip into this team. This is my current draft.
I actually can't see it.
What's changed there? So we've got Trent and Robertson at the back. And again, it goes back to this whole thing about Mason Mount. I had 7 million. I was like, I don't really fancy anybody at 7 million except Robbo. Robbo looks really great. Then I looked at some of the XG stats from last season, and Robbo is way better than all of the 7 million midfielders, and he's got the clean sheets as well. So listen, I've gone Trent and Robbo to start the season, the two Liverpool wingbacks there. And on the basis that I said before, you know, Liverpool didn't start that great offensively at the beginning of last season, but we did start well defensively. We just made individual errors at the beginning of last season, and Adrian was unfortunately to do with some of them, not all of them. I will protect him from that perspective, but we made individual errors, and we must be going into the season thinking, don't make those individual errors.
Oh, I would have thought
and we
so.
Can keep clean sheets.
Yeah.
Having said that, Williams made a pretty bad error for Aubameyang yesterday. So I've gone with the two at the back. I've got Johnson in there as my 4.0 West Ham defender. I feel like of the 4.0s, he feels like the one that's going to play the most. I'm not like, let's not spend any time talking about it, because he's
I think Ferguson will, but he's got to be fit first, and he's not fit.
Yeah, potentially. I've gone for Walker, Peters and Lamptey at the back there, because I think of all of the defensive rotations, Southampton and Brighton looks really good, actually, between now and game week 16, when you get your second wild card.
And they're safe picks. Should play.
Yeah, right. Both look pretty good. I think of the two, probably Lamptey might be slight more risk, but I'm very happy to have those two rotating as my 4.5. The only thing I've got to consider is that I've got Ryan still in my goal, so I don't want to double up with Brighton. I think Brighton will be better as a team this season. I think they are ones to watch. I also think Brighton will be better defensively if Ben White can get in there, the former Leeds loanee that Potter wanted back. They will be better, I think, Brighton this year. I think they're the dark horses to have a pretty good season, Brighton.
Still got Button as your...
Still got Ryan and Button, but that could change. The only thing about the Southampton and Brighton 4.5 defensive rotation is that the two keepers I'm trying to choose between are McCarthy and Ryan. So it's a bit like, well, who do you want to double on? Otherwise, I've got to go to Pope, and I don't really want to do Pope, right? Because he's 5.5. I'd rather have Charlie Taylor at 4.5. So there's my defensive dilemmas. Salah and Aubameyang, I think, pretty much locked in now. Don't think that's going to change between now and the start of the season. Rashford is there right now just because, as I said before, I've said a few times now, I do think he's going to have a breakout season, Rashford. I do think this is his time.
And you
this
do
kid.
Need to plan for game week two. You can't just plan for game week one.
I do feel like as soon as that game week one deadline passes and I set my game week two bus team,
you'll be glad.
I'm really buzzing to have Rashford there. Just come off the bench, boom, stick him in for game
you'll
week two.
You'll be really pleased that that's not a transfer you've got to make.
I think so. By the way, this team has £1 million in the bank.
Oh, hello.
So if I wanted to do Rashford, if I wanted to do Bruno instead of Rashford, I could do that. But right now, I'm feeling Rashford. I think it's a good season for him, and he could be on penalties.
That's Souček. I can see
Souček is there. He's a lock. I think as fifth midfielders go, why wouldn't you? It just looks great. I have got Saka in there as well right now as one of my players that no one's talking about. But that could change. Let's see. Up front, Jimenez hasn't changed. I might use my 1 million to do somebody like Werner. Could go there. But again, with Chelsea, as I said last week, I'm just waiting to see what they look like. I just want to wait but act quickly on Chelsea. I'm not going to hang about. I will have a Chelsea player in my team by game week two or three, I'm pretty sure. But I just want to see who I think. Like I said, was Mount, was Ziyech for a while. I do like Pulisic, obviously a big Pulisic fan. Werner, I think, is going to be good in the Premier League as well. So it could be any one of those guys, maybe even two, who knows, in the future. And Mitrovic, I think, is my 6.0 of choice. Despite Jordan Ayew getting a couple of goals, I still think Mitro... All right, game week one doesn't look too great. Home to Arsenal could be okay, but don't look great given how defensively organised Arsenal look. But after that, game weeks two to like 6-7 look pretty good for Fulham.
Yeah.
And there's goals there for Mitrovic, in my opinion, if he can start the season well. So there's my team. Lots is going to change. What do you think?
No, I don't hate it. I think it's fine. I think I wouldn't want double Brighton. Well, actually triple Brighton.
No,
because you've got Button as well.
Oh, yeah, okay, triple Brighton.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't want triple Brighton, but I can see the keeper dilemma. So I'd probably go without Lamptey. I'd probably replace him instead.
Okay.
But otherwise, it doesn't look bad. I mean, I think you might regret not having some Spurs in there for that nice run. No, just genuinely, because we're going to score a lot of goals. I would expect that we will score a lot of goals.
Jose Mourinho is your manager. You will not score a lot of goals.
Have you seen our team?
You will not score a lot. It's Jose Mourinho.
It's pretty much made up of attacking players.
You will not score a lot of goals.
All right. How much do you want to bet?
This time next week, guys, we'll be back Sunday night, 8:30. We will be doing our predictions for next season.
Oh, it's my favourite stream.
I'm looking forward to this because I'm pretty sure you're going to predict Spurs top four, and I'm pretty sure I'm not. So listen, that's join us next Sunday for that. Before we go, Sam, last super chat. So many super chats tonight, guys. Thank you for the super chats. Here's a team, Sam, with a few different ones in there. Ings, this is from Greg Football TV. Thank you, Greg, for the super chat. Ings, Kane, Vardy,
nice.
Aubameyang. Wow, this is an expensive team. Sander Berge, Zaha, Gylfi Sigurdsson, Digne, Davies, Robertson, Johnson, and £1 million in the bank. There's a lot of Everton
there's
in there.
There's a lot of Everton in there.
A lot of Everton by the sound of it. Hey, listen, not a bad team, though, with £1 million in the bank.
No, I like this.
No Mane or Salah, but Aubameyang midfielder, you're going to be captaining a lot of the time. Three big hitters up front.
I mean...
Not bad, that, Greg.
No, that sounded all right.
Not bad, that. Listen, it's a bit against the grain, because a bit different to what...
Nothing wrong with being a bit different.
Did you
see St. Max and my triple captain for me?
Nothing wrong with being a bit different. No, you're absolutely right. So, guys, join us again, this time next week, for our, of course, we'll be starting to lock in, I think, as much as possible lock in.
We'll show our drafts again.
We will show our drafts again. I think there'll be a bit of tinkering between now and then.
You'll have a Spurs player by then.
We'll do our predictions video, which is always good fun. Make sure you join us in the live chat for that, because not only will I be giving my predictions and Sam will be giving her predictions for the top four in the Premier League this season, the bottom three, the top goal scorer, Golden Boot, and the top FPL point scorer in each position. We'll be doing those predictions. No, we didn't do that, I don't think. But we'll also be getting your predictions as well. We want you guys to comment in the live chat. Let us know what you're predicting. We'll take a bit of a consensus in the live chat in lieu of any polls, because YouTube doesn't let us do polls anymore. We'll be getting a consensus in the chat and we'll be writing down your predictions. And then we will fast forward to the end of the 2021 season in what we hope is May, COVID depending, right? But if the season finishes as we expect in May, then we'll open the envelopes and we will reveal what our predictions are going to be. So we'll be making those predictions next week.
I hope Kunkaram, because obviously last year he gave it to us in an NME. I hope he's going to post it to us this year.
As well, Kunkaram, if you're watching, there is an invitation.
I bet he will.
There's an invitation. And we'll be getting a few of the patrons' predictions as well. So patrons, get in the Slack, give us your predictions. We're going to set up a channel in the Slack. We have polls. And we'll have the patron predictions as well. So look out for that as well, patron supporters. Guys, before we go, hit that subscribe button if you're new around here, of course, and leave us a like. Over 1,200 people, Sam, joining us tonight. Loads of you joining us for FPL Family, which I think is a record. So thank you for everybody that's joined us. Leave us a like before you go. Here are all the places you can find us. We'll be back on the FPL show and the official FPL podcast at some stage, I guess, hopefully in the next few weeks when we get the call to be back on the show with the lovely Jules and James down in Uxbridge. Obviously, we're on Patreon, like I mentioned before. If you want to listen to the audio of this live stream as a podcast, you can go check us out on SoundCloud, Deezer, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. And then on all your favourite socials as well, Instagram, Twitter, and indeed Facebook. That's it, Sam. That's it for another FPL Family. A bumper episode tonight. Bumper episode, but a bumper audience as well. 1,200 of you in. We thank you for joining us. Keep tinkering, guys. I've got 2 weeks still to tinker. And we will see you this time, 8:30, next Sunday for another FPL Family, when we'll be making our predictions for the season. All right, guys. See you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.